97.5, The Fanatic.
I'm Andrew Salchunas, alongside, he's already dancing, the great Pat Egan. Pat, good morning. How are we today? You seem like you're in a good mood.
Hello.
Pat has the most exciting day planned today. And it has nothing to do with sports and getting set for the Eagles and Team USA, which will start in about an hour. And we'll kind of, you know, we'll watch and talk about it. But Pat.
None of that.
You have something big in store, and like, I'm worried that I'm going to lose you during the show today.
A little bit. Do the names Bandit, Bingo, Chili, Bluey. Do those names mean anything to you?
No.
We got Bluey live today.
Oh,
Andrew.
Nice.
Let's go.
Where's that at?
A sitter for the kid. I'm going down there, and I can't wait.
Yeah, you're going by yourself.
Get the kick back. It's going to be awesome.
That's awesome. Are you going to sneak in some stuff?
I might have to sneak in some. I got in my car right now. I think I have a box of Doritos. Cause I got, so I went to Wegmans and I got like a 10, like the little like bags of Doritos we used to have in like our lunch.
Yeah.
So if I go to the movies and I get nachos and I get regular nachos, I take that little bag of Doritos, I open it up and I sprinkle it on. So I have regular nachos, but I have Doritos as well. And then with the cheese, that's good living. So I got a box of Doritos in my car, but I also have the bag of the M&Ms that's mixed. It's like M&Ms, peanut M&Ms, and then almond M&Ms. So it's all in a bag.
Well, do you ever go wild and close your eyes and go, I wonder which M&M I'm going to grab next?
All the time.
That's a Friday night for you.
And then I also have a box of Swedish fish.
Oh.
Like just the ones that you sneak, you know, the ones that they'll sell at the movie theater.
Yeah,
that
I gotcha.
So I have a box of Swedish fish too. So I'm ready to go.
Yeah, yeah. You've been prepared for this for
this
a while.
This is what I do.
Yeah, so big day for Pat today. And I'm worried that I'm gonna lose you. I mean, it's 9:02 and you brought it up yourself.
No, I did. I'm not here.
No, I know.
I'm not here right now. Mentally, I'm in Australia with the Bluey crew.
Is that where they're from?
Yeah, it's based off out of Australia.
Okay. All right. So they got the accents or?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
And then, so the dad and the mom recently did, I want to say Kimmel or Fallon, because the show's really called on in the States.
Okay.
And the mom and dad.
Not Blue's Clues.
No, we're talking Bluey. No.
Bluey.
Bluey would dominate Blue's Clues. Blue's whatever.
Good to know.
And so Chili, the mom.
Not Blue Chew.
No, which will do something else to you. It'll wake you up a little bit. Wake somebody up. So they did a little media tour. They went to, I think, Jimmy Fallon.
Yes.
Let me tell you, the woman who plays Chili, the mom.
Yeah.
What up?
Oh, okay. All right. Is she going to be in attendance today?
I hope.
All right. Well,
get her autograph. Tell her I'm a big fan.
All right.
I'm a media personality.
Well, I'm happy for you that you have such a big day in store for you.
I'm pumped, man.
And that you're going by yourself. You're not even bringing Jack. That's great.
No, because, like, with all due respect to kids, I brought him to the movies before, and it's the crucial point of the movie. He goes, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. Do I want that to happen during Bluey Live?
No, absolutely not.
No, not at all.
You're telling that kid to stay home.
Exactly. So I didn't even tell him. It's just a day for me.
Yeah.
My mom's watching him. I'm heading down to Bluey Live.
That's awesome. So Pat's got a big day in store for him. So we're excited for him. And we'll try to get through the end of the show, basically, at this point. Ray, I'm going to need a lot of you because Pat's already checked out. Doesn't even have his laptop ready yet. He's opening it up now. The show's already been going on, but he's probably just going to look up Google images of Bluey at this point or the mom.
I don't have it. I don't have it open because I can't see. I haven't put my contacts in. So
how come? We'll talk about it later.
My glasses.
Your glasses still aren't fixed, and it's been over a month. But
I got them set up now. I can see.
But it is a sports show, so we'll talk a little bit about it. I'll see if I can get something out of you. Eagles Titans tomorrow. The Eagles, of course, 10-1. The Sixers lose to the Grizzlies yesterday. The Flyers are an absolute mess. That they don't even really deserve my time.
Dude, they're only like 5 points out of a loss.
Yeah, that's what Chuck Fletcher had to say.
Yeah.
So thank God for the Eagles. But I do want to start off with the Sixers because I have a question. So the other day, you know Raider Frank on Twitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Raider Frank. Big Flyers fan. I said during my update, just kind of in passing, when the Sixers lost to the Cavs, I was like, it was an ugly night, but don't worry about it. And it's because how I truly felt. The Sixers won three straight, four out of their last five. They had played five games in 7 days. They lost to the Cavs. Okay, so be it. Nobody had a good night. Embiid was your leading scorer, which, it's not a shock, but he only had 19.
Yeah.
Shake Milton had 14. Not one other Sixers player finished in double figures, okay? And just me saying, don't worry about it, struck a nerve with Raider Frank, and I'm just using him as an example because he tweeted about it, but I know that there is a sentiment out there that I don't think people truly know how to feel about the Sixers right now, and I don't either.
Agreed.
I really don't, because remember, 2 weeks ago, we did the show the day after the Bucks game, and I said on Friday that I would react probably overly negatively or overly positive if the Sixers were to, however they played against the Bucks. And they not only matched up with them, but they won. And so I came in here all fired up. Unfortunately, Maxey also got hurt that game. But when you thought that with Maxey out, Harden out, and Embiid would be out, that instead of 12-11 right now, they'd be, 7-14? And who wants that, right? I mean, the people would be freaking out. So they're above 500. They're floating out there. And I don't know how to truly feel about them. They're missing two of their star players.
Yeah.
But I know they lost to the Grizzlies last night. It's a much better team right now, and people are panicking again.
It's tough because you look at the job that Doc has done throughout this, 10, 11-game stretch or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a pretty damn good job considering who he's been out with.
Right.
But there was this notion that Embiid merely returning was going to boost this team back to winning six and then losing one and winning five and then losing one. And when you see a game like last night, which just got out of hand,
yeah,
with Embiid on the court, you fail sometimes to remember the fact that Harden is out, Maxey is out, and you're basically relying on your one, who is really good.
Who had 35, 12 boards, and 8 assists yesterday.
But then you're relying on your number 4 in Tobias,
right,
to be your number 2. That's not easy. I don't know about you, but every game that
like Shake Milton played 40 minutes yesterday.
Yeah, they're 40 good minutes. Anyway, so I don't know about you. Every game of this stretch since they've lost Maxey, I've gone, all right, let's see. Hoping for the best, not expecting a win.
Right.
So I'm not going to get mad when they're without Maxey and Harden when they lose. Because it's going to happen. I'm not going to overreact to a game in early December.
Right.
It's in the grand scheme of things, if this team is healthy, that's a game. They weren't healthy. You had your best player who was healthy. Great. And he played great and all that. But to ask him to make chicken salad out of chicken bleep is tough. But it's tough, too, because the last couple of games, they've played really well. And they haven't had Maxey. They haven't had Harden.
Right.
So maybe then it's a unconscious effort to go like, well, this team maybe is legit. And you forget about the fact that, no, when faced up against,
the Memphis Grizzlies,
superior talent and teams,
right,
that aren't the Orlando Magic, that aren't the Charlotte Hornets.
And you're missing your best players.
That losses can happen.
Right.
So to overreact to it, but it's tough because we have no idea what this team is because they haven't had time to actually get anything going. They've been dealing with injuries pretty much the entire season.
Yeah, it's only 23 games into the season, and Harden's already missed, the last month.
And for everybody out there who's in their car or streaming or whatever, who's rolling their eyes and screaming like, I'm so sick of hearing that excuse, but guess what?
I am too. Oh, my God, yeah.
Sick of it, but it's a reality. It's like the injuries. I'm sick of it, but it's a reality. And when you have this much of a facelift for your franchise that they did, and you have Harden coming in, and then you take on Maxey, the starting unit has not played much together this season. So
it didn't look pretty at the start of the year, right?
No, it didn't.
Even with the starting unit. So for anybody that goes, look, there was a lot of people that are like, look, they're playing better since Harden and Maxey have gone down. Now, nobody really believes that they're a better team.
Yeah, trade both of them.
Yeah, nobody believes that they're a better team without those guys, but it is kind of concerning that it was as ugly as it was to start the season, right? And I still have a bit, I don't want to use the word concern, I don't want to use the word doubt, but there's something in the back of my mind that goes, all right, Embiid has played far better since Harden's been out. Now, look, he's had to take over, right? There's not been, you know, he has the largest piece of the pie by far now, even with when Maxi was healthy. Because remember, when Embiid comes back and Maxi's still healthy, Maxi's 35, 40-point nights drops to 15, 16, 17, 18 points a night, and Embiid is dropping 35. But it's different. The results are different. The team's winning the games because they revolve around Joel Embiid. So I can't help but go, man, Embiid has really balled out since Harden's gone down, because I still don't know how to make their games work. I know that they can, but it's not Clint Capella setting a screen, Harden driving, or stepping back and hitting a three, or floating a lob to Capella. That's not who Embiid is. Embiid's a different player.
He is. I mean, I think there was a statistic out there that they were the number one pick and roll team after Harden got traded here. So I think they do know how to play together. But we haven't seen it this year. You're used to Embiid going off. You're used to Harden going off. You're even used to Maxi going off. But it's separately. Combining all three of them, there's only one ball. It's the problem that a lot of good teams have when you load up. It's like, hey, there's one ball, and there's a lot of guys that are used to scoring big points. So far, it hasn't been like an issue in the sense of I haven't gotten the idea that there's any like, I can't think today. Like, I need to get mine.
Well, you're all about Bluey right now. That's why you can't think.
Right here.
Yeah.
It's right here in the head. There's no, like, T.O., you know, I need to get my points. Because it does seem to be a cohesive unit.
Yeah, it does.
And I do think once Maxi comes back, once Harden comes back, they will find a way to make this work. I think it had more to do with some of the changes in the lineup. And, you know, they just came out flat. They came out slow. I don't know what it was. But you're right. The way that they started the season doesn't...
Like,
really,
it's not like
I can't
say, well, just wait till they come back.
Yeah, you're right.
But at the same time, I can't sit here and go, oh my God, two straight losses. I got my hopes up after 4 out of 5. Well, yeah, I mean, they had nobody out there. So
losses are going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
I'm just happy that they won 4 out of 5.
Exactly.
To keep them above 500 at this point, because you don't want to be outside looking in this early in the season. Now, obviously, it is early in the year, and they'll be able to start putting some wins together when the team comes back. But, you know, those wins were important, because piling up wins in the end is better than piling up losses.
That's just the kind of analysis you get on this show.
Yeah, it's the best analysis
wins.
Ever.
Better than losses.
But I also can't blame anyone for feeling a certain type of way because of the beginning of the season.
No, I can't either. I mean, look, this team did another facelift. It wasn't the drastic facelift of
fifth time in 5 years.
Of Al Horford, but it was still, they got some Botox, you know? They got some collagen injections. There's some subtle changes there. And you don't know how it's going to work. You were hoping for the best, but then they start the season off looking like crap. Then they get a couple guys injured and they look okay, but then you go, well, are they looking okay because they're playing the Charlotte Hornets and the Orlando Magic? Are they looking okay because, you know, maybe some of these players were being underutilized?
Right. And here's the thing.
This is on Doc to make this work once everyone's healthy.
Right.
It's really on him to, like, put this conversation we're having to rest.
Well, and this is the thing. So, this is a conversation, right? I'm not hitting a panic button by any means.
We don't have that on our board.
We don't.
We got preview. Talk back.
I could hit the dump.
Dump. There's a dump.
That's kind of panic, I would imagine. So I could say something that I really feel, but I don't want people to know, and then I could hit it.
We should have a button on this board. There are buttons I've never once hit.
Talk to call screen or two.
A lot of women could attest to that. And let me tell you, there should be a button here that just says, like,
panic.
Panic.
Yeah.
This is a joke.
So my thing is, and I kind of want, like, I just trust Tree, right?
Yeah, and no one's listening. We're
just want to have
girls.
But I want to have an open dialogue at 610-632-0975.
Would you say you want to have a conversation?
Yes. And we could talk this out. And this is not me freaking out. And this is not me saying everything's going to be fine either. Like, this team is weird, kind of,
yeah,
right
you
now.
You don't know how to feel. Because we haven't seen the real Sixers yet, I feel like.
Right. Like, now, you said something a couple minutes ago, how it's always kind of tough with a big three, getting everybody involved. But forgive me, is this team a typical big three? Like, there's not a, all right, Klay Thompson's your spot-up shooter. Now, Klay Thompson could do other things with the ball, but you know when it's Steph Curry. I'm not even going to say Steph and KD. I'm saying Steph and Draymond. Yeah. Right, like, they have their roles.
Yeah, this you're right.
I don't know what is Maxey's role. What is Harden's role? What is Embiid's role? Embiid can score from anywhere. Harden can score from anywhere. Maxey can score from anywhere. But it's not like you know that, all right, Klay Thompson is going to be open over here. I just know that Klay Thompson, we're going to run an off-ball screen, and Klay's going to be open every single time over here. And if he's not, Steph can take the screen from Draymond. And Draymond can go for a lob. Or Draymond can, you know, fade back, you kick to him, and then he can either do something with the ball. Like, I kind of don't really know what Embiid and Harden and Maxey do.
Yeah, and it's difficult, too, because as John Kincaid's pointed out a few times, it seemed like when they were all on the floor, Maxey's playing way quicker of a game than everybody
right.
else. How do you make that work? And once again, it's on Doc. I think he's done a really good job since the injuries have happened of not letting this thing get out of hand, and it would have been understandable if he did.
Yeah.
But that's on him to find a way to make this work and not have a Brett Brown situation when they did sign Al Horford. And it was like, well, we got a big three of Horford and Embiid and Joe, and it was like, well, you don't know how to use
right. I don't know
two
what,
of these guys.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Is it a big three? I mean, on paper, sure. On 2K, it looks great. But you're right. You got to make this work because you can't have one guy playing at 60 miles an hour and everybody else playing at 30.
Right, and then you can easily say, well, just, you know, kick it out to Maxey after you get a defensive rebound, but you also have your other two best players who are half-court guys.
Yeah, and then here's the good thing, though. I don't get the sense that James Harden really cares at this point about being the guy.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I do think egos are in check with this team.
And you saw that with Brooklyn. I know that they barely played together, KD, Kyrie, and Harden. But Harden took over as the point guard, right? And I know he had a couple of big nights, but when the three of them were playing together, even when Kyrie was out, Harden was getting 14, 15 assists because he was finding Kevin Durant, Joe Harris, right? Like, he was getting these guys involved. And I'm sure he'd be able to do that. And I saw that when he first came here. Remember those first five games?
He was basically just facilitating.
And all of a sudden, that just stopped. And I don't know if that was teams figuring it out.
Or it was by design by the coach.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not 100% sure. And then you go to the playoffs, and speaking of the coach, it's we didn't know the offensive game plan. And I hear that, and I go, well, that's not good.
No, it's not. I mean, the Doc's got to get it together this season.
There's no more excuses.
That's what I mean. Like, there's no more, because the things that you just said were very troubling in the moment. Being reminded about it, as you say it, troubling again. You don't know the offensive game plan. I talked about it a lot, but the scene where they went into the quote, the huddle, you know, an elimination game, and he's like begging his guys.
Right.
Is the team checked out? Do they not believe in this guy? You know, but then you see what he's done these past 10 games, and you go, oh, all right. Well,
yeah, I mean, he has coached his ass off. Like, if I'm a credit where credit's due guy. I wanted Doc Rivers fired 2 weeks ago. If the news came today, I
wasn't opposed to it 2 weeks ago.
I wouldn't shed a tear today, like, if he was moved
on. We're not playing in the arms of the Angels.
Right.
Sarah McLachlan.
And I'm not sitting here saying fire Doc right now, right? But he's coached his rear end off, really.
Yes.
And it's only going to work for so long, especially when you play the Grizzlies. Like, the Cavs game, you should never lose that by that much to the Cavs, but
no.
It was the fifth game in seven nights.
Yeah, so you go, okay, schedule, and he said it's a
schedule loss.
Loss,
and people had a problem with it.
They thought he said scheduled.
Yeah.
No, it was a schedule loss, yeah. Meaning the schedule. Look, one of the things when the Sixers came in here to our studio and talked about their plan for a stadium.
Yeah, see, I didn't hear that.
I know you.
All these things always happen during.
Yeah, they do, and they planned it that way because
they're
not shooting as people.
Yeah, they don't want
But one of the things they brought up was we are third in the pecking order in regards to the Wells Fargo Center. It goes Flyers 1, Concerts and Events 2, and then Sixers.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Disney's on Ice. I guess
well,
that is
events.
And events.
So it is Disney on Ice. You know, Gaston and Maui.
Yeah, they got
to
be
bumping
out there.
These guys to the road.
Yeah.
So what it lends to is you've got a lot of back-to-backs in your schedule. And you're traveling a lot. And it's an unfortunate schedule. And they broke down in the meeting how many back-to-backs they have and the average back-to-back in the NBA and how many they have. And it is a lot.
Yeah.
So I do think there's some credibility to the excuse of, hey, it's a schedule loss. You know, meaning, hey, we're going in with the best intentions, but if we lose this game, it's going to happen. You know, like, it's that kind of thing will happen with the schedule that we've played. But yeah, people lost their mind over that. That's going to happen. Two in a row. Okay, you can't get it three. three in a row is where I go like, all right, is this the real team? Because the Cavs are an up-and-coming team. Okay, you shouldn't lose that badly to them, but losing to them with the schedule you've had, understandable, fine. Memphis, as we talked about, superior team at this point. With the team that they're throwing on the court, the team you're throwing on the court, not even close, even with Embiid. If you lose another one,
which, look, for the life of me.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah. I'm not a put your mortgage down, but put your mortgage down. They're playing the Rockets.
That's my point.
And
James Harden's coming back.
And it's Rockets, then it's...
And by the way, I expect...
Then it's the Lakers, who are a mess. I know Anthony Davis had a big night, but the Lakers are a mess.
And I expect them to win, by the way. I expect them to beat Houston.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to get three in a row, but my point is, that's when I start to question it. Two games in a row, I don't...
Well, and here's the thing.
I don't hit any panic button.
Houston's the final game of a three-game road trip, which I get is always like a thing, right?
Which I don't...
Houston stinks. But yeah. Then you got seven games at home in a row.
Yep.
And then the next two on the road, Knicks and Wizards. So it's not like you're traveling back out to the West Coast or anything.
Dude, the Knicks got Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, they do.
They're back.
Like, the Sixers, I fully expect to go on a little bit of a run here. It's the Rockets, as we mentioned, Lakers, Hornets, Kings, Warriors, who aren't perfect this year, Raptors, which will be a tough game, Pistons, Clippers, Knicks, Wizards. That's your next nine games.
A lot of wins in there.
There should be. And again, like you said, you know, Harden should be back. Is there a date? Is he coming back against Houston? He's
supposed to come back against Houston.
Because I know Doc said he was on with Ant that he's going to be back on the trip. So
yeah, I mean, the targeted date is Houston. I think he'll probably go through workout and see.
Yeah.
I think he probably wants to come back.
And when he comes back, it's kind of like, all right, giddy up. Let's see what we got. But I want to kind of have an open conversation at 610-632-0975 with kind of how are we feeling about the Sixers, because I think they'll be fine, but I fully confidently say that when it wasn't great to start the year, and I don't really know how it works with the three of them. They're very talented.
To act like there's not a little bit of doubt, you know, that you got the two guys on your shoulder talking.
And look, I love this
roster. There's a guy bringing stuff up. I'm not really listening to him, but he's still there.
I love the roster they made. I felt really good about it going into the season, and I still do. You might need to tweak one more time, which every team does tweak to try to get to a championship. You know, I don't know if that's moving Tobias. I don't know if that's just getting another backup guard. I don't know what it is, dude. There's going to be a tweak.
Taking Tobias.
Well, there's only a year and a half left. Well, come deadline time, it'll be a year and a half. We'll see. Dude, I don't know. We'll see.
No, we won't see.
Okay. But I'm not...
No one's taking him.
I'm not freaking out right now because I do like the team and I like the next stretch and they are healthy or they're going to get healthier. But I also don't blame anyone who's kind of down. So I kind of want to just have an open dialogue.
Yeah, you definitely see both sides of the coin. I don't think anyone should be too much one way or the other.
Exactly.
I do feel like they probably should be somewhere where kind of we are. But
listen to us.
Yeah, like we know stuff.
Yeah. I mean, Pat's going to blow it today.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
You think that happens by accident?
No. He knows people.
Yeah. They're sports and Bluey. They play keepy uppy.
610-632-0975 is the number to climb in.
With a balloon.
Packed show as always. We got Paul Nolan, freewinners.net, coming up at 10:10. We got the weekend news dump at 10:40.
Uh-huh.
And it is Anthony's turn for the Fanatic family, but I haven't texted him yet. So we'll see how it all goes.
Okay, so he doesn't know that.
No, not yet. So we'll figure it out.
Okay.
But he's batting a major Sal Chunas while. So talk about the Eagles, of course. 10-1 Birds getting ready to take on the Titans tomorrow. So we'll open up an Eagles conversation next as well, right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Sal Chunas. Fanatic Holiday Wheel is back, Pat. I've hit this two times a day. That's how excited we are. This year, we'll be spinning the Holiday Wheel three times a day with the Jock and Kate Show at 8 a.m., with the Cuz at 12, and with the best show ever at 4 p.m. You have a chance to win some amazing prizes. Register now at 975thefanatic.com. Starting Monday, December 12th, we will be calling the names. The Holiday Fanatic Wheel is presented by Rally House. Every wheel spinner will automatically receive a $50 Rally House gift card. Rally House, your city, your house. Rally House, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Register for the Holiday Wheel right now.
Disrespectful to Devon.
Yeah.
Now, However, the B will tell you, well, there's a lot of Sixers games going on. There's a lot of Flyers games. You can't be spinning the holiday wheel at 10:30. And they're right. They're right about that. Because in that situation, Devon wouldn't come on until about 10:30. But
yeah,
I was thinking about it, you know, three times a day. Kincaid, Gargano, best show ever. There's a show after that.
There is a show.
It's a quality show.
I love it.
It's either in the post or in the crease. And I bet you he'd love to spin a wheel.
I bet he would, too. Maybe you can give him some prizes. You know,
I can give him some headshots.
The rest of your La Colombe coffee over here.
I had to purchase it today.
Oh, sorry.
I have it, like, I order it at home. And I forgot to put it in the fridge last night. So I had to stop at Wawa and get it. But I got La Colombe and I got a muffin.
Well, you could put that in the prize for Devon's spin.
I could.
You know.
Could.
But
it helped him out.
Yeah. By the way, so we're going to get to the phones in a second. It's 610-632-0975. I should finish the number.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me that people are, and I love it, but Jim and Chellenham's our first caller, right? We'll get to him in a second. He calls, and we haven't mentioned the Phillies, and he wants to talk Phillies.
My dad texted me and said, hey, don't forget to talk about the Phillies.
And I love it.
Because my dad's a program director now.
Yeah, good. So. But I love the fact that the Phillies are still on the forefront of a lot of people's minds. And it's because, look, they just got to the World Series, and it was in a way that we weren't expecting it. If I told you in April, hey, they're going to get to the World Series, you would have believed it. But then May happened, and you obviously didn't believe it. And then even just getting into the playoffs, you wouldn't have believed it.
May happened and June happened.
Right. And then even when they got in, if I said, hey, they're getting to the World Series, you'd be like, yeah, sure. Right? You would have to go through the Cardinals.
Yeah, that's cute.
You have to go to the Braves. You have to go through the Padres.
I was hoping to win one game.
Yeah. And they got all the way to the World Series, and they're only going to get better because it's pretty much, I think, written in stone that Trey Turner is coming to the Phillies.
And if he's not.
You got Xander Bogaerts.
And if he's not.
You know, Correa.
And then if he's not.
Pat Egan. Four great options.
Dansby Swanson. And then after that, you've got Edmundo Sosa.
He's not coming here.
No. He's not built for this place. That's what I was told.
Oh.
Laughed it off.
So,
that's fine.
But I love that Jim wants to talk Phillies, but he also wants to talk about the LOL Mets. Now, Ray Dunn, who's producing the show today.
Who?
Ray. We'll get into Ray later on in the program.
Yeah, we will.
We got some dirty laundry.
Do we ever?
Put out there.
We've drafted a statement. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, we'll discuss. But Ray put together something that I'm really excited to play. It's the breaking news that Jacob deGrom signs with the Rangers. Now, I find it funny. I put out a tweet last night, you know, I quote tweeted Jeff Passan's report, and all I put was hashtag LOL Mets. And then the Mets fans come in. Well, they weren't going to spend that kind of money anyway. This is a bad deal for the Rangers. Because, you know, they're trying to do whatever they can to not be upset.
They are the person who's crying but wearing a mask that is smiling.
Right, and they're trying to do everything, they say everything they can to make them feel better about themselves. Well, the people of, which station was it, Ray?
This is SNY.
SNY did not feel the same way as some of those losers on Twitter yesterday. Take a listen to what Ray put together for us about the news breaking that Jacob deGrom was signing with the Rangers and, of course, not with the LOL Mets.
Breaking news here on CBS Sports HQ. The hot stove is piping hot, and Jacob deGrom moving to the hot state of Texas, signing a five-year deal with the Texas Rangers.
DeGrom DeGone from the New York Mets as he signs a whopping five-year, $185 million contract with the Texas Rangers.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
A very bad Texas Rangers team, and there is one thought process that, hey, I want to win. Isn't winning the most important thing? When you leave the New York Mets, who are on the cusp of doing great things, went to the postseason, won 101 games, and now you decide to become a member of the Texas Rangers, a team that, well, maybe they'll shock me. Maybe they'll do a lot of things this offseason and become a factor. I don't think that's going to be the case, but when you decide you're not as interested in winning as you are money,
love it.
In today's game, that bothers me a little bit.
That's the only thing I think that makes it easier for the Mets fan. I think Gelb is right. Obviously, it's a painful day. There's no way to sugarcoat it. I've been preparing myself for this. It still hurts. I understand that. But he wanted to leave. He chose the Texas Rangers, who won 68 ball games a year ago. He doesn't care about winning. He doesn't care about having his number up there beside Mike Piazza and Tom Seaver. He didn't care about that. That's the only thing. I know it's going to hurt for a while. Piazza. That's the only thing that eventually will make it easier. Oh, and by the way, Steve Cohen, still the richest owner in the sport.
We still got Steve Cohen. I thought this when Steve Cohen took over the Mets. There was this fear of, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God, Steve Cohen. No. He's got money. He's going to spend. Guess what? Our owner has money.
Yeah.
He's got cigar money. And he's willing to spend. And Steve Cohen told you, as an owner, where his monetary restraints stop when they failed to sign Kumar Rocker. And they basically used a draft pick on him and said, yeah, you know what? We don't like his medicals. We're moving on. And Kumar Rocker goes, oh, he gets drafted where? The Texas Rangers. So, yes, while everything they said there about the Texas Rangers being bad is true, the idea that he doesn't want to win, I'm sure he does want to win. You know what's nice, though, other than winning? Yeah, the bank account.
Yeah.
And that's the reality of the situation. Every single one of those journalists would go and sign a deal with downtown Fallujah News, if they were getting paid over $100 million. And
yes.
and you could sit there and go, well, wait, but SNY is the number one sports news station in the country. It's not, but you could sit there and make these proclamations. What do you mean? I mean, they're parent company. They have all this money. And it's like, yeah, that's great. But downtown Fallujah called. They're offering you $100 million.
Right, they're offering you
more
money.
You're going to go to downtown Fallujah.
Yeah.
So the idea of, well, he clearly doesn't want to win. Now, I'm sure he does. He also clearly wants to cash in on a paycheck, which... Shocker, everybody does. But they're an up-and-coming team, and their pitching staff theoretically should be pretty good in a couple years when Al Leiter Jr. hits, when Kumar Rocker hits, when Owen White hits. So that pitching staff should be pretty nasty.
Well, no, by the way, they went out there and spent last year.
Yeah,
I was shocked that they were as bad as they were this year.
Me too. I don't think it's going to be forever. Like, Josh Jung's coming. Like, they're going to be a very feisty, young squad.
Yeah.
I think they will surprise some people, like that guy. They're not going to make the playoffs, but they'll show a little bit of okay, this team can be dangerous in a couple of years. But I'm sorry, when the Mets offered you 2 years and 3 years, and this team comes with five, and your elbow is held together with duct tape and string, yeah, you're taking the five-year guaranteed contract, which, by the way, has a six-year on top of it. It's not guaranteed, but it's a six-year. You're taking the five-year deal.
Yeah, you're gonna do that, and... I find it so funny that all of a sudden the Mets fans are going to try to find whatever they can and
this
is okay. This is okay that he's not here anymore. He didn't want to win, so why would I want him here?
Loser energy, which
I think is hilarious. And I just saw something from Buster Olney 15 minutes ago. The Mets are now looking to trade James McCann,
who gave
a four-year, $40 million contract to. Everybody that complained about JT Realmuto's contract, at least he's actually the best catcher in baseball, not James McCann.
I heard the McCann deal was better than JT's, though.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I
heard that the Steve Cohen, of course, who just prints money apparently, had so much money he was just going to buy JT Realmuto. And then he didn't.
Yeah.
Because he went bargain bin shopping, and he went to Five Below and got Five Below version of JT Realmuto. And now he's looking at... Look, they're looking to move on because they have the number one prospect in the sport at catcher and Francisco Alvarez. So they're looking to move on. Also, James McCann has not been good. It's tough to find a hitting catcher in the sport, so they could probably get some value out there. But the free agent market at this point, they're going to either have to overspend for 40-year-old Justin Verlander, have to overspend for Carlos
Rodon. Well, and that's why I just saw something right now. Rodon, more so not the Mets. What was the team that was mentioned? Yankees, potentially. Shocker.
Okay.
This is from John Heyman. The Mets seem more intrigued by Justin Verlander, which, hey, look, he's still a very talented pitcher, but like you said, he's now over 40. Yeah. Scherzer's over 40.
And look, and he's nasty. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
He won a Cy Young. He was going to win a Cy Young. I don't know if it... Did it get announced?
No, not yet.
But he's going to win a Cy Young. And it's amazing that he's looking at L.A. and New York. I guess eventually Kate decided, you know, Detroit and Houston.
Yeah, she's done with
those. Let's go to a bigger market. And I don't blame her, but...
No, not at all.
But yeah, it's like you can bring back Chris Bassett, but you have no idea how he's going to deal with the pitch clock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's it's probably going to struggle with the pitch clock because he's a human rain delay. So they're in a situation where, yeah, they're convincing themselves that, you know, this is fine.
Yeah.
As the burning. As
no, I just find it hilarious. And the Mets fans that were coming after me yesterday, it's just hysterical.
I lost
in the first round.
I have a neighbor, and she drives a car that has a Mets.
Oh, God.
It's a Mets vanity plate.
Oh.
And let me tell you, during the World Series, every time I saw her, you know, I'm work, because I, you know, I wear my uniforms, Philly stuff.
Yeah.
I would see her.
You say, what's up?
And I would just smile.
Yeah.
I would have the biggest crap-eating grin on my face.
Good.
And I'm thinking about her today.
Good.
Because I just hope that her Saturday got a little bit worse.
Nice.
Just
Happy
open.
Saturday, neighbor.
Just open.
Let's go to Jim and Sheltenham, who started this conversation with the Phillies, and we'll get into the Eagles as well.
We haven't even got to.
Yeah. What's up, Jim? Thank you.
Hey, how you doing this morning, guys?
Doing great. Thanks for giving us something to talk about.
Yeah, I know. The situation with the Phillies is, you know, it's where they were 2 years ago and now is like night and day.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Everything about their organization is at an all-time high. I haven't found the Phillies since the early 60s. I have never seen an organization in this situation before.
Say what you want about Castellanos, but you're happy with an outfield of Schwarber, Castellanos, Marsh, Harper's DH versus what? Odubel, Luke Williams was out there for a couple of games. Saw Harper. Vieto Dubel, Roman Quinn, Adam Haseley, Mickey Moniak. Yeah, you're in a better spot right now, Jim.
I know, it's much better. And just everything at this org, they got owners that will pay money to anybody in any other team in this league. They got top five television contract. They got everything rolling. They got the best baseball man in the business. So right now they're in probably the best situation I've ever seen them. And then I heard this morning that the Phillies manager canceled his appointment at Oaks, Pennsylvania today. He's supposed to do a autograph signing.
And yes.
He's on his way to San Diego. So they have meetings with all the shortstops on Monday. So something's cooking.
Yeah, now that DeGrom gets signed, I know that's the pitching market more so than the position playing market. But I would imagine, part of me wonders, and I saw one of the reporters say it may go faster this year, which I think is cool.
I agree. I think it'll definitely heat up. This is the first time that they've had winter meetings since 2019.
Oh my God, yeah.
And that's
between COVID
usually,
and lockouts.
Look, that's where a lot of stuff heats up. You've got all these GMs in a room together. They're singing some karaoke. They're enjoying some conferences. Next thing you know, trades and signings get done. So they haven't had this opportunity in a while, and they're finally getting it. Yeah, I would assume. I'd be shocked if by Wednesday we don't have a shortstop. Be shocked.
I think, yeah, by the end of winter means it should be done, in my opinion. All the rumors I'm hearing on YouTube, and of course, SMY is the worst.
No, I think they're the best.
Because I do get SMY on my satellite system, and they never criticize the Mets at any time. Different from Philadelphia's NBC Philadelphia.
Exactly, Jim. Listen, man, we appreciate the call. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday. Damn right.
I would be pretty surprised if we don't have a signing.
Yeah. And look, I want the... Part of me feels like I would prefer the bigger names first, so then you can then go after...
The relief pitching.
The relief pitching. Yeah. And by the way, I'm totally fine with them bringing Knebel back.
I'm fine with it. Yeah, he's serviceable.
People,
maybe not at that price at 10 mil, but
not at that price.
People didn't like him last year as the closer, which is fine. But I was cool with him being the closer at the start of the year because he was the only guy that really did it.
Yeah.
And then look, now Seranthi's your guy, or however Rob Thompson manages it, because he might use him in the eighth inning, as we saw obviously in the playoffs. But I'm cool with him coming back. He had shoulder stiffness, which messed him up. He was still pumping upper 90s. Like,
yeah,
you know.
he was fine.
Yeah, so I think that's a nice piece to bring back.
And I think they do want to act quickly. I think that's why they're having Thompson come out. And
yeah.
This usually happens when you're courting a top free agent is you want the entire team out there. Like, so you want the manager, you want the owner, you want the GM in this situation. You want the baseball player, president of baseball operations, Dave Dombrowski. And you might even want, like, a player.
And the fanatic.
You don't really throw the fanatic in there. There's some DeBruno brothers are heading out there with some cheese spreads.
That's nice.
You know, we got some Corpolese and
here's pretzels. Here's the Nick's Roast
Philadelphia
Pork.
Pretzel Factory, the Nick's Roast Pork. Yeah,
it's Coles because we flew it up.
We had to fly it, but still.
Yeah,
just put it in the microwave for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
You're fine. I do think that it's a sign that things are probably going to be heating up. And by all reports, they're going to be. But it's just interesting. Of you don't really need how much of a selling point do you need with Trey Turner when you've got Bryce Harper who's clearly texting him probably every day.
Oh my God! Yeah, when he's saying that they're best friends on the on that broadcast when he was out.
That was the moment.
His favorite player.
That was the moment where you go, oh okay, so this is the way this is going to play out. And then you see all the connections. He wants to go to a place that trains in Florida because he's from Florida. Where do the Phillies train again?
Florida?
Yeah, Clearwater.
Yeah.
His wife is from New Jersey. His best friends with Bryce Harper.
The wives are friends.
Had a really good relationship with Kevin Long. Liked Kyle Schwarber. Yeah.
He's coming here.
I'd be shocked at this
point. Yeah, me too. We also have an Eagles game tomorrow. Eagles and Titans. I know Rick and Easton wants to talk about it. Rick, what's going on, man? You're on the Fanatic.
Boy, from your mouth to God's ears, I wish I had 10 minutes to talk about the Phillies, but let's go, Birds.
Yeah, let's go, Birds.
You know, you guys are really intelligent talk show hosts. You're fun to listen to, and as some other hosts should take a page out of your book. Don't take me so literally when I say sit A.J. Brown down. Doesn't mean sit him out. It means sit him down and explain to him that this is a city that has 7 rings and 200 tries. That's 4 times almost 50 years. Our offense runs the ball at 6 yards per clip against a team that also can't stop the run. We are 10-1. We play to win the game. You win playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. You win games to get to the playoffs. I'm Jeffrey Lurie. I made this team $2.3 billion. I pay you $100 million. I don't care if you're 25 years old or 50 years old. We will set up the pass to get to you with the run. Then you can get your targets. You don't dictate to us how we get back at the Tennessee Titans. We have to win this game.
Where's this coming from?
Yeah, did he say something?
Because you can't be responsible for other shows. Guys don't understand when you call in and say, sit him down. It's not sit him out. Sit him down and explain to him, because other talk show people want to talk about A.J. Brown wants to get back at Tennessee. That doesn't come into play here at all Sunday.
I still think he's a lot to score touchdowns.
Yeah, I think they're going to make a concentrated effort to get the ball.
But Rick, they're still going to run their game plan. It's not going to be like, all right, A.J., we promise you, we're going to get you 20 targets. And like, I don't think that's hard.
And also,
20 targets is a little overkill. But the other thing that concerns me, guys, is when's the last time a 10-1 team has no special team and gives up almost as much runs per clip that they actually run the ball for?
Yeah, the special teams, if you were to have one legit concern, I guess, is special teams. And I know they might try to cycle in some starters this week, so we'll see how it looks any better.
Don't run the ball back when you kick the ball a half yard over the goal line. 8 yards deep.
Yeah, and that's what happened against the Packers, which is concerning. We appreciate the call, man. But I will say, if that's my biggest worry right now, and I'm not saying it's okay.
Because if a team's
starting at their own 40 and has that kind of field position, whether they score or not, it's going to mess your next drive up, because if they punt, they could pin you deep and all that kind of stuff. So obviously, special teams is important. I'm not going to please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. But if offense and defense are not my biggest worry,
I'm in a good spot.
And it's special teams, yeah, I'm all right.
Now, special teams reared its ugly head on Sunday because
that kept the Packers in the game.
It did. I mean, if you look at the field position that the Packers started out, whether it be turnovers, but mainly because of poor field position, it's one of the reasons why they scored. I mean, I think all but two of them happened. Like 40 yards or
yeah, it wasn't like the Commanders who had 18 play 80 yard drives.
When you're starting off on your own 40 yard line or the 50 yard
line,
that's problematic. The other team's 40 yard line. You don't need too many first downs. You really don't. So AJ Brown point. I don't think AJ Brown's going into the office,
give me the ball,
and saying, give me the ball. You know what this team means to me. But I think the Eagles, and I think Jalen Hurts,
We'll try to get him the ball. Yeah, and I feel like that's in all sports.
Yeah.
In any league.
Concentrated, it's
Any player.
But, I mean, even then, it's concentrated effort meaning what? Like, he's the number one wide receiver on your team.
Well, that's the other
you're
going
to try to get him the ball no matter what.
And you're missing your tight end. And since Dallas Goedert has been out, A.J. Brown has played more in the slot. And, you know, look, he would have had a better game last week had he not puked up 7 pounds and popped a blood vessel in his eye.
Yeah, we're not talking about Zach Pascal having a revenge game here.
Right.
Zach Pascal going, give me, I need my touches.
A.J. Brown.
Give me the rock. You know what this team did to me. This isn't that. It's A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to come out throw happy. It seems.
And that's what his point was. He said this team can't stop the run and you run the ball well. Look, A.J. Brown might finish with 4 catches, 50 yards. What do you have last week? 4 catches, 45 yards and a touchdown. That might just be his game, but if he scores a touchdown against his old team, he's going to be happy.
Yeah, he's not going to care. I mean, he's been a model citizen.
Yeah,
not that I worried about him, but he's been a model citizen since coming over here. One of the reasons why, 10-1.
Yeah, winning.
Everybody's
winning
happy when you're winning, except Carson Wentz.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that Darren Sproles thing's still crazy. Weird, Paul Nolan coming our way at 10:10, by the way. We'll continue all the conversations. We opened up with the Sixers and where we are right now with the team because another loss yesterday, and quite frankly, I don't really know what to believe. I think they will be fine, but for anybody that has a concern, I don't blame you because it's not like I can say, well, just wait till they get healthy, because when they were healthy, it didn't look great. So we're talking about that, Philly's hot stove, and also the Eagles getting set for the Titans. We'll talk more about that as the show goes on. You can climb in at 610-632-0975. Paul Nolan will give us some picks coming up at 10:10. Weekend news done with Ray at 10:40, all right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.